Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and I want to welcome you to our Blue Oaks Church podcast. At the end of this episode, feel free to download our Blue Oaks Church app, where you'll be able to access resources, events, and ways to get connected at Blue Oaks and in the community. The app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around Blue Oaks. Most importantly, though, I just hope that you enjoy this episode and it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
All right. Good morning, Blue Oaks. I'm so happy to be back here. I was here a few months ago. If you're new here, I'm not Pastor Matt. If you've been coming a while, I'm still not Pastor Matt, but he asked me to fill in when he is out of town. And so it's my honor and privilege to be back with you this morning. I live in Danville. I've had a speaking ministry for over 20 years, and I love telling people about Jesus. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at Ephesians 4 together. I have three kids, ages 16, 18, and 21. But there was a time when they were potty talk years old. You know what I'm talking about. Does anyone here have children ages potty talk years old? I see you, sister. Anyone else? See you in the back. Yep, I see you. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. And if you've never had children, you've been one. So you remember the days when potty talk was so fun, especially if you were a boy. I don't mean to be sexist, but it's true. The boys, especially, sometimes that years old carries on for a long time. And so my son, look at, they're laughing. They're like, yeah, I just did that in the car. So my son is the oldest. So of course he influenced his younger siblings, his little sisters in the potty talk arena. So there came a time where we had to start to establish some family rules around potty talk because it was an epidemic. And so we would say no potty talk at the table, but we had to escalate that. Okay, only potty talk in the bathroom. You don't want to totally oppress your children. They have so many rules and so little in their control as young kids. You want to give them some yeses. So it was like, okay, potty talk it up, but do it in the bathroom. So I brought a picture of our bathroom just to give you a visual. This is the kids' bathroom. And so we thought it was going well, but then some things would come home from school and church. And so if you zoom in on those photos over the toilet, you'll see that my son was asked to draw a sign. He was in Sunday school and church. They said, draw a sign, something that you've seen before. So he chose, you cannot be in this pool if you have had active diarrhea in the last 14 days. He did what they said. And then when he was in preschool, it was pouring out there as well. Actually, this was kindergarten. Kindergarten activity where you're doing the letter P. So why don't you draw for me some things that start with the letter P? Way to represent our family. And you can see I was changing a diaper. I had to make an excuse. I was embarrassed. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, that's not normal. But it was. Because you see, what we surround ourselves with, what we pour into ourselves will come out of us. So if we're around the potty talk, doing the potty talk, being influenced by the brother, the potty talk, it's going to come out. And so that's a principle that we're going to talk about today. What we pour into us will come out of us. What we pour into us will come out of us. So let's go to Ephesians 4. If you are going in your Bible, open it now or open your app, or you can follow along up on the screen. We're going to dig into Ephesians 4. Specifically, we're going to look at the end of Ephesians 4. So let me give you a little background of Ephesians, because we're going to jump all the way to chapter 4. It was written by Paul from prison in AD 60 or 62. It is his first stint in prison, and it's one of the four letters known as the prison epistles. It's a letter to the Ephesians, the Christians that were in Ephesus. It was a letter to the family of God, to brothers and sisters of Ephesus that were surrounded by a lot of Greek and Roman gods and idolatry in that city. Ephesians 1 through 3 is orthodoxy, which just means the correct opinion or right belief, the doctrine. So Ephesians 1:3 is laying out who God is, who Jesus is, who we are in Christ. And then Ephesians 4-6 is the orthopraxy, the practice of it. Because of Ephesians 1-3, this is what it's going to look like to live that out in 4-6. That's the orthopraxy. Kind of one through three is your walk-up song, and then four through six, like you're up to bat now. This is how you do it for the baseball people in here. I'm going to give you a little overview of chapters one through three so you can see what I'm talking about, the right belief, the right doctrine. And as I was going through trying to pick and choose just a few things to give you the idea, it was really hard because there's so much good stuff in it. So this is just a taste of what's in Ephesians chapter one. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. He gave us redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. He has lavished his grace on us. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. That's just chapter one. Chapter two, we were dead in our transgressions, but we've been made alive in Christ because of his great love for us. We've been saved by grace through faith, not of our works, not from ourselves, but the gift of God. We are a dwelling of God's Spirit. Chapter three, the mystery of the gospel has been revealed. It is not just for the Jews. It's for the Gentiles. It's for everybody. Everybody is welcome into the family of God. Something that they weren't sure about prior to Jesus revealing this mystery. In Jesus, through faith in him, we may approach God with confidence and freedom. Jesus is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So as we pour in that right belief about God in Ephesians 1 through 3, we pour that into ourselves. We're up to bat with Ephesians 4 through 6. Now that you know that you are loved, you are wrecked by grace, you are chosen, you're redeemed, you are forgiven, here's how it's going to play out. This is what it's going to look like. Essentially, here's the family rules. Here are some of the rules as a follower of Christ that are going to play out in your life because you know that you are loved, chosen, forgiven, a child of God. So let's look first at Ephesians 4, 1 through 2. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Live a life worthy. Other translations say walk worthy in your daily conduct. Live as who you are. Live as a child of God. That Ephesians 4, 1 through 2 is kind of the umbrella of the family rules that are coming. We have these family rules, but we're going to live them out with humility and gentleness and patience and grace. It's the umbrella for how we walk worthy. And so some of the pushback when I say family rules or do's and don'ts of Christianity is, whoa, 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 whoa. It's a relationship with God. It's grace. We're saved by faith. There's no do's and don'ts of Christianity. There's no rules. However, there are family rules, and they're not a bad thing, right? Just as in your family, you have rules to follow. Why? So that you don't hurt one another, so that you can be the best version of who you are in your family. And there's some pushback because, well, we don't want to be legalistic. How many of you have had experience growing up in a legalistic home or a legalistic church? Anyone? Some of us, yeah. So we want to push back on that legalism because what happens with legalism is rules, rules, rules. Rules taken out of context. Rules completely over relationship. Rules, law keeping is how you earn your acceptance with God. In fact, just about every other religion is based on, are you good enough? Do you follow the family rules enough? Do you fall short of the family rules? Does your good outweigh your bad? The difference with Christianity is that Jesus says, no, I have come to bridge that gap. You're not going to be good enough. You're not always going to follow the family rules. You're not always going to walk worthy. And I've got you covered. By the blood of Christ, you're forgiven and you're in relationship with God. So yes, sometimes we're going to blow it and we're going to hurt people with our sin. And that is the reality, that there is sin. Now, the opposite of the legalism is there's actually a name for it, and I'm going to try and pronounce it. Antinomianism. Can you say that? Antinomianism? See, I don't like that word, so I made up a new one because I don't want you to try and pronounce that if you're trying to explain this at some point. So the opposite of legalism, I'm going to call la 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 loveism. And you have to do the la 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 with it, because it's just like la la la, just love, no rules. Everybody is great and do you and find your truth. You hear that a lot in today's culture. That's not a new thing, but I think we are hearing that more and more. And it's this, there's no judgment. Judgment is the worst word in the universe. There's no sin. You do what feels right for you. That's kind of the opposite of the legalism. And that's where I think we find ourselves culturally. And even it's invading the church. Because yes, the most important commandment when Jesus summed it up is love your neighbor as yourself. Love God first and then love your neighbor as yourself. So yes, love. And we want to be patient, bearing with one another in love. But love does not mean la, 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 no rules, no sin, do whatever you want. Because that does hurt people. That's not true love. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So these are some family rules that are laid out in Ephesians 4, and we're going to look at just four of them. Paul tells us what to put off and what to put on because it affects relationships and it hurts people. So here we go, Ephesians 4, verses 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. So the breakdown of the four rules we're going to go over this morning. No unwholesome talk. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. So let's look at number one. No unwholesome talk. Only what is helpful. No unwholesome talk. Other translation says, no foul language. So what is that? Corrupting, foul, abusive, anything that causes decay. No foul language or unwholesome talk should come from your mouth, but only what is good for helping someone in need, that it may benefit the listener. Racial slurs, gossip, profanity, abusive language, biting sarcasm, toxic negativity, put downs. How do we speak to our children? How do we speak to our spouses? How do we speak to referees? Does that hit home? It should. How do we speak to our employees, our bosses, our neighbors, customer service people, people we disagree with? In person, or how about online? And some of you, I know you're thinking, can I still say the F word? So it's not so much the words themselves, but the impact on other people. So you might think, well, that doesn't hurt anybody, but does it offend people? Could it be considered unwholesome talk? It's easy to find excuses, but if it's a debate, why not let it go and say, Lord, no unwholesome talk. I want to follow the family rules. I don't want to hurt people in my family and outside of the family. I want to be an example of what it looks like to walk worthy of Christ. And for some of us, it's harder. Maybe our environment, our work environment. Maybe you're actually a sailor. I don't know why the whole like a cuss like a sailor, where they get to own that. But maybe you are an environment. Well, this everybody does it. Well, how much more for you to set the example, to be the light on the football field, as a coach, as a player, in the locker room, with the ladies' night out, when the words fly out and the gossip is happening, to be set apart as a child of God. I want to walk different because I know Ephesians 1 through 3. That's my walk-up song. So how am I going to live that out with the words that I use? Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has power of life and death. How will you use it? How will you use that tongue? To build others up according to their needs? There's so many things that influence what comes out of us and so many things we can pour in. And one of the things that was important to us as a family with the family rules was no explicit lyrics. So we didn't let our kids listen to explicit lyrics. And it was tough because there was a lot of pushback, because if you look at the top 100 songs on Spotify or Apple Music, maybe like half of a song is clean. And they like music and they're like, no, I just like to, this is, it doesn't affect me. I'm not listening to the words. I put Ephesians 4:29 up in the bathroom, no unwholesome talk. And my son in particular in middle school, I brought a picture so you could see how cute and innocent he looks. And you would never think behind the scenes, he's pushing back to listen to this music that really was not good. And thinking it doesn't influence me at all. But that was something that we tried to do in our house to try and keep the unwholesome talk from flowing. So no unwholesome talk. And then number two, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Well, how do we do that? Really, we can look at the verse before, no unwholesome talk, and the verses that are coming next, angerness, bitterness, wrath. Why? Because rules are arbitrary? No. Why do we have family rules? We don't want to hurt each other. And when we break God's family rules, we're hurting each other and ourselves, and that grieves God. Think of a time when your child totally rebelled and broke a rule and you're devastated. Is it because that was my rule, or is it because of the consequences of the sin that come with that, or where it leads to? As a parent, you can relate to this. There's grief when family rules are broken, not the potty talk rules. Obviously, that's a little bit light, but some of the other things like we're going to go into next. So no unwholesome talk, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And then number three, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice. You probably know what they are. I'm going to break them down a little bit, though. Bitterness, angered at being treated unfairly, resentment. Anger, strong feelings of annoyance, displeasure, hostility. Wrath, great anger, where you want to get to punish someone. Brawling or shouting, fight, quarrel in a rough or noisy way. Slander, false and damaging statements about someone. Malice, desire to do evil, desire to injure. Now, this isn't to say you can never be angry, because previously in Ephesians, he says, don't sin in your anger. Don't let the sun go down. There's like a limit, because what happens if we don't deal with our anger? It builds up and it leads to the bitterness, resentment, and perhaps brawling. In fact, I have a story about this. When I was in fourth grade, I went to the water slides. I believe it was Manteca water slides. Anyone remember the Manteca water slides? Oh yeah, that was big. I grew up in this area. I went there with my friend Andrew. We were just talking about this story. We're in line and my parents are here. I don't know if you know the story, so hang tight. So we're in line at the water slides and there's this kid in front of us. And again, I'm like 11 years old. And he's being really sarcastic to me and my friend. And he folds over a dollar bill to make it say something inappropriate. Don't try and figure out what it is. But he showed it to us and he said, someday you'll understand. And I was like, no. And so I told my friend, I said, if he says another thing, I'm going to punch him. And he says, oh, she's telling her big sister. And he made some other comments. So there was a buildup. I mean, it was justified. My anger was justified. There was this buildup. And so I said that if he says one more thing, I'm going to punch him. And so he turned around and I just punched him in the back. Me, do I look like a violent, angry person? I was kind of a bully when I was in elementary school because things were being poured into me that built up some anger and bitterness and resentment that I didn't really understand or know how to process. And I didn't know Ephesians 1:3. I wasn't a believer. I wasn't filling myself with God's truth and his love and his grace and forgiveness. Because if I had that in me, I could have dealt with the situation in a lot different way. Yes, you're going to be wronged. Someone's going to make you angry. Those refs, they're going to make bad calls. People are going to say things that you strongly disagree with. But if you have the Holy Spirit of God in you and you are filled with your walk-up song, you can respond and behave differently. No unwholesome talk. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of bitterness, anger, wrath. I think I had 6 out of 7 of those in that story. I don't think there was slander because I don't think I said any false and damaging things about him. You know, I probably did afterwards. So maybe check, check, check. All of those things grieve the Holy Spirit of God and bring dissension in the body of Christ. And as we mature in our faith, we're going to grow in those areas. Number 4, be kind and compassionate. Forgive. And as I was studying through the book of Ephesians, it really dawned on me that connection. They're right there together. Forgiveness, bitterness, anger, wrath, resentment, malice. A lot of that comes from unforgiveness. Being kind and compassionate. Forgive because you've been forgiven. Christ has forgiven you. You've been forgiven by people. We need to give that same forgiveness out. And this is hard because a lot of people are unlikable and they don't deserve forgiveness, but we're called to forgive. Doesn't mean you have to be their best friend. Doesn't mean that the relationship may be broken or you have those boundaries. Some people have done some really terrible things and you might have to forgive over and over because if you start thinking about what they did to you or what has happened to you, it's really easy to take it back and build up that bitterness and resentment and anger and malice. But as we continue to surrender to our Ephesians 1-3, Lord, we can release that to him and be forgiving as he forgave us. No unwholesome talk. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. And remember that umbrella for the family rules, Ephesians 4:1-2. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So what does that mean for us? What's the challenge here? What's the application? Number one, check our hearts and our playlists. What are we pouring in to our hearts? Luke 6:45 says, a good man brings good out of the good things stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Check your heart. So interesting to me when you see like on the news a story of racism and someone does some horrible racist act or says something racist and they get caught on film. And then everyone tracks that person down and makes a big scene of it. And what happens when that person comes out and they get caught? What do they say? I'm not racist. That's not really who I am. That's not me. And I want to say, but that's what came out of your heart. It went from your heart to your mouth. That doesn't mean you're canceled forever, but you have some work to do. What we store up and pour up in our heart is going to come out of our mouths. And we like to think this doesn't affect me. And we can become so desensitized to things without even knowing. So let me ask you this question. What are you pouring in that makes you want to be humble and gentle and patient and bearing with one another in love, compassionate, kind, and forgiving? Because what we pour in is very likely to come out. What are you pouring in that makes you want to punch someone in the face? What's stirring up anger and hostility in your heart? Who or what are you listening to and is it affecting you? How much news do you watch and read? And does that help you to be more kind and compassionate and forgiving? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Who are you pouring into your life? It's funny, I've done a lot of speaking to young people, and we talk about show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That's not a kid thing. That's an adult thing as well. Now, I'm not saying only hang out with people that are Christians and that are actively seeking the Lord. We're called to be a light in the world and we need to love everybody. But what's impacting you? What's influencing you? Who are you going to for advice? Is any of it causing bitterness, unwholesome talk? How about social media? Does that draw you more into kindness and compassion and forgiveness? I know for me, if I watch too much news, it just makes me angry at everybody and everything. And I don't like any politicians, and I don't like any people who are political on any side of any spectrum of politics. So I probably don't like any of you right now if I know all your politics, just kidding. But so for me, I've had to back off taking that in. It's kind of hard because it's like that balance of being totally ignorant or being so invested that's all you talk about. I think erring on the side of ignorance is kind of beautiful right now. We are so inundated with information that it is paralyzing and causes so much anxiety and anger. So we need to check our hearts and our playlists. But here's the key. We ask the Holy Spirit to guide and convict us and lead us. Because there's no strict legalistic rules of like, okay, you can watch 5 minutes of CNN, maybe 10 minutes of Fox, maybe 4 minutes of this. You can have an hour on Instagram and then you're okay. You can listen to 10 true crime podcasts, but once you hit 11, you're toast. You can listen to this rapper that has 12 potty talks in there, but not, you know what I'm saying? This is where you have to talk to God and say, God, convict me. What do I need to cut out? What do I need to change? What do I need to reduce? Is this okay for me? Am I desensitized? Is this influencing me? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you check your playlist and let you know where you need to grow and change in that area. Where do I need to humble myself? Who do I need to forgive? And then obey. As God convicts you and tells you what to do, obey. And it may not be the same as your neighbor or your brother or your sister. But that's the beauty of being in a relationship with the Lord. We have our family rules, and then we need the Holy Spirit sometimes to give us the application because it's not so specific. And I do want to acknowledge that sometimes we don't have control what has been poured into us. Sometimes we don't have control of who we're around all the time. Some of you might say, I have a job that there's images and situations that are poured into me that are really hard to process. And I have to wrestle through that as part of my job. Ask God to help you, and all the more for you to pour in what is good. Fill up on good things, God things. Fill up on God things, all of us. But all the more if you have negative voices coming to you that you can't control, fill up on the God things. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Start your day with worship music, maybe, instead of religion, the religion of politics. Read the book of Ephesians. Go check out 1-4, your walk-up song. Read it over and over and over this week. Take one chapter and read it like 5 times in a day. Get it in there. And then the other challenge would be build someone up. Use your words to build someone up. Who can you encourage this week? So the recap of the challenge is check our hearts and playlists. Ask the Holy Spirit to convict and help us. Fill up on the God things and build someone up. So we're going to close the service by the band, the worship team. Okay, first of all, talk about filling up on the God things. Like, that is a whole walk-up song. I came in when they were rehearsing this morning, and I'm like, let's go. So good. Fill up on that. If that doesn't make you want to go out and love people and share the gospel and use your words for good. So the band's going to come out and play a song that is one of my actual walk-up songs. This is what I was listening to in the car on the way here over and over. I listen to it frequently before I go speak, when I'm getting ready in the morning. my son, who fought us so hard on the explicit lyrics. 3 days before he turned 18, he went up to a Christian camp for the weekend. 3 days before he turned 18 and the floodgates were going to open for him. And we're like, you're 18. You can go listen to whatever. 3 days before the Holy Spirit convicted him, no explicit lyrics. It's the Holy Spirit of God that can move in our hearts and change. 2 years after that, my son, who loved the Lord the whole time. So that's not to say if you're wrestling or you're battling, doesn't mean you're not a Christian or you're out of the family. So 2 years after that camp, he wrote this song that's straight out of Psalm 19 that we're going to worship to. His friend composed the music and sang the vocals, and his girlfriend did the background vocals. It's on iTunes, and I asked the band to play it, and they are going to do it. So let's fill up on Psalm 19 as we close.
Directions or information about what we have for you or your family, your students, you can go to blueoaks.church or download the app today. And we hope to see you on Sunday soon.